Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Didn't break on Tuesday and they didn't break on Wednesday. Maybe we can break them for you today here. Hey, I got to say a big thank you to John Jackson, the Joker from X, for covering down on the show for us yesterday because he was working with engineers. We're testing out some new remote broadcast equipment here, so we had to get it set up yesterday, and then we're kind of playing around testing it out today. And that being said, John Jackson, the Joker from X, back here helping us out here on this Thursday morning as well. John, thanks for doing the show yesterday. I know folks always love it when you're behind the microphone, so it's always great to have you on the program.
Oh, a lot of fun. It is a full-on five-alarm fire here, a-hole and elbows trying to get this this thing going here this morning. But you know the Bill O'Reilly, right? We got to do the Bill O'Reilly. We're doing it live.
Well, it's funny because you can test equipment off air all day long you want, and at the end of the day, like, once you go live, there's just a whole bunch of different factors that are at play. You're dealing with studio equipment, you're dealing with feeding out stuff and radio stations and apps, but that's all part of the fun of it's just another reminder that we've got live local radio here in Montana. But John, you know, whenever I take the show on the road, we stack the show full of a ton of great guests. We'll show up at a cafe, we'll show up at, you know, a different business, you know, from Plentywood to Kalispell, and we get so many guests on the show that it's very fast moving. But there's some people that we get on the show where it's like, okay, we need to get them back on the program, and we need to sit down with them for a full hour. And that's what you and I are going to do today. I've got Frank Mealy, the former editor of the Daily Interlake in Kalispell. He's now the editor of the Heartland Diary USA blog. He's going to join us on the show. But really, Frank has been one of the best writers on the topic of illegal immigration going back for decades now. He was sounding the alarms. And when it comes to the Russia hoax and all the attacks on America and on Trump, Frank is one of the key guys who's been exposing a lot of it. So it's going to be a fun chat with Frank Mealy here today.
Yeah, we've been following that, you know, illegal immigration, you know, through my work. I mean, we've been looking at that since the 90s. And you had people like Ann Coulter back in those times, back in the 90s, back in the early 2000s, sounding an alarm saying, forget all the other issues you have out there. If you lose the issue on illegal immigration, nothing else matters.
That's right. And if you don't have borders, you don't have a country. Frank's latest, stand by, John. We'll have you in on the conversation here as well. Frank's latest that is posted at realclearpolitics.com. This was just posted, I think, on Monday. Russiagate Redux. You can't keep a good hoax down. That's his latest. We're going to catch up with Frank Mealy right after the break. And then, John, jump in on the conversation at any point. We're probably not going to be able to take phone calls for today because we're still working on our new phone software, but that should be a ton of fun once we get that up and running. So send us a message on the Montana Talks app in the meantime.
Broadcasting live across the big sky. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, today we're going to do more of a big picture show. First, I should probably, I just got some good feedback from Frank in Malta. Either we turn our bumper music down or crank me up just a little bit, or maybe I'll just talk really loud like the guy in Good Morning Vietnam. No, all in good fun, though. But no, appreciate the feedback from folks as we're testing out some of our new remote broadcast equipment here this morning. Great to have Frank Mealy in the house. Frank, thanks for coming over and joining us on the program here this morning. I mentioned you've got a new column posted at Real Clear Politics, Russiagate Redux, can't keep a good hoax down. But before we get to that, you and I were just talking during the break off air, your very first batch of columns, or your very first book was a batch of columns you did basically titled Why We Need Trump. And this was several years ago. And you were telling me during the break that even you, the guy who wrote the book of Why We Need Trump, didn't know just how badly we actually needed Trump. Anyway, good to see you, Frank.
Hey, thanks, Aaron. Great to be here. Well, I mean, a lot of the first three books I wrote were looks backward at all of the things that had happened in the Bush years and the Obama years. And it was most predominantly the border that was obvious that things had gone haywire. And you needed somebody like Trump to come in and clean up house. But now that Trump is in office for the second time, and the first time, of course, we'll get to that Russiagate thing. He was kept down by the establishment by using that hoax to keep him preoccupied so he couldn't really come in full force with his agenda. But now that he's in there the second time, he is revealing problems across the board. And Victor Davis Hanson called it a counter-revolution in a column this week. I think that's an apt description because everything that's going on, if you had been wise enough, you could have predicted it. But nobody would have expected to be some one person to be able to come in and change everything. And, you know, you're starting with the boys and girls sports, you know, the DEI in universities, the anti-Semitism, the thing now, the new one, Bureau of Labor Statistics. Hey, why do we have Bureau of Labor Statistics that can't give us accurate statistics? You know, everybody's known it. For years, they've been haywire, and only Trump has, you know, why we needed Trump. Because he's the only guy who had the cojones to actually move in and take action instead of saying, oh, yeah, we should look into it, or let's have a panel. He goes in and he takes care of things. This thing with the District of Columbia, hey, it's a safe city. No, it isn't a safe city. Everybody who lives there knows it's not a safe city, and only Trump, you know, is willing to take on the mass media and the obvious countervailing forces that are going to tell him to sit down and shut up. He's the only one who's brave enough to do it. And he's going to go in there and he's going to clean the city up. And that's good. Too bad he can't do it with New York, Chicago, and L.A. But he can make a start with D.C. and maybe they'll get the message.
That's right. Yeah, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, where they basically lied about and manipulated the jobs numbers to try to prop up Biden last year. And then they would offer up their revisions a few months later. Same thing with the D.C. law enforcement.
Right.
The Democrat leadership in D.C. is forcing them to lie about the crime statistics. And even their and John Jackson, yeah, bringing you on the conversation, even their own police union is saying, yeah, you can't believe their numbers. We see the actual crimes that are taking place. John, what's your thoughts in terms of this concept of, you know, even for those folks who knew we needed Trump, even we didn't know how badly we needed Trump?
I sure did. I sure knew because, you know, us news wonks out here, we're following this stuff every day, and you know just how bad it was under Biden. And it's important to remember how we got Trump to begin with. See, we as Republican voters out here and conservatives, you know, first we saw W. Bush for 8 years, and what we just got forever wars and more spending. You know, we did it. We got the same old, and then we had McCain and Romney and the years of the Obama time where we saw Republicans basically do nothing to stand up to him and stop him. And that's when people had finally had enough and they saw, you know what, we cannot have a guy from inside the system. We have to have a guy from outside, a force for change. That's what got us Donald Trump.
Frank Mealy, kind of your thoughts, too, in terms of just the USAID scandal, I think, to me, was the one where, like, we knew it was bad. We knew it was really bad. But what Mike Benz uncovered there shows it was way worse than even government skeptics have thought.
Right. Well, I mean, ultimately, that scandal is symbolic of the rot within, you know, that there was this cancer inside the government of people who, you know, as Trump says, they must hate America because of what they're doing. And, you know, that's been the interesting thing. My books came out before Biden. I didn't expect Biden. I didn't expect that, you know, that they would be able to fake that election and get get their guy in. But the fact that they did is really what gave Trump the platform to come in for that second term and just rip things open, because Biden was so fake and so crass and, you know, so many lies. You know, the whole border and Mayorkas saying, oh, the border is secure, when they're letting in millions of people. It was so staggering that they thought they could get away with that. That, you know, it opened up a lot of eyes and it made it possible for Trump to actually accomplish something.
Yeah, I think the combination of all the lies and manipulations during COVID-19 combined with the train wreck of the Biden regime years is propelling a Trump rebound to be even mightier than before. All right, stand by. Back after this.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping back into it here with Frank Mealy, the editor of the Heartland Diary USA blog, and he's got his latest column up at Real Clear Politics. John Jackson, the Joker from X, your thoughts on the conversation kind of leading into the break. And then I think one of the next things we want to get to with Frank is, okay, so where do we go from here? And, you know, now that President Trump has the wind at his back because of the lies and the manipulations during COVID-19 that turned off so many of the American people, because of just how bad the Biden regime was, the American people are awakened to just how bad our federal government has become, right? So where do we go from here? Anyway, your thoughts first before we go back to Frank.
I think we're on a roll right now. I think we are finally hitting our stride here. We have some bumps, with the corrupt judiciary and the lawfare, but we seem to be winning all of those now, and we are hitting our stride because Trump and all of his cabinet, his people, head of agencies, are just every day hitting them with five right crosses, and they just don't know what to do, and that's how we have to be this whole time. Keep them on defense. We stay on offense. That's how we win.
Well, and then Frank Mealy, your thoughts on this, kind of where we go from here, because President Trump and the Republican Congress even right now are doing some great things. But if we don't codify a lot of this stuff, if we don't see more turnover in the federal courts in particular, where do we go from here? Or is this just a short term bump? How do we make this something that's really going to power America forward as the free republic for another 250 years?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you got two concerns. One, midterm elections. If the Democrats should take the House of Representatives, which is well within reason that could happen, the first thing on the table is going to be impeachment. And they're going to say that Trump, you know, they already say he's a dictator, he's authoritarian. They're going to come up with a game plan where they're going to say that he overreached and extended himself beyond the constitutional bounds of what the office should be. And they're going to impeach him. And, you know, hopefully the Senate will still be in Republican hands. They won't be able to get anywhere with it. But it's going to slow things down. And there are going to be investigations, et cetera. So that's a problem. The other thing, the long-term problem, is MAGA going to hold? Are there cracks, you know, developing that are going to make it difficult for a non-Trump heir to the throne be able to keep things held together? I don't know about you, but I'm a little worried about Tucker Carlson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, some of these things that they're saying. I mean, to me, they're attacking the president and his agenda. They're weakening him. I don't understand it. There's a lot to be criticized, I guess, you know, on anybody, including Trump. But it seems like there are two diverse viewpoints now about where do we go. I mean, when Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tucker were like saying, oh, this ability to or decision to go into Iran and knock out the nuclear, that he was violating his campaign promises to, you know, not get us involved in a foreign war. Well, what, they were totally wrong.
Yeah.
I haven't heard any apologies, really, where they're saying, oh, no, we were wrong. That's not a major foreign military war. It's just like many many things the United States has done in the last 30, 40 years to maintain order around the globe.
Well, and at every Trump rally for how many years before he was even running for president, he was talking about Iran will not get a nuclear weapon.
Yep.
And should not get their hands on a nuclear weapon. I mean, in Bozeman, that was when the Trump rally showed up in Bozeman supporting now U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. I mean, that was one of the most powerful portions of that entire rally was when Tim Sheehy was on the stage and was talking about President Trump's, you know, strike that took out Soleimani.
3 minutes, stations. 3 minutes.
John, your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, first of all, that you're seeing how those midterms are so important to the Democrats. That's why they're screeching right now about Texas redistricting. And when it comes to Tucker and MTG, they both recently, just fairly recently in the last year, are really showing that kind of instability and kind of pookery that makes everybody scratch your head. Because I don't know about you guys, but me, I want people around me at all times and people in my tent that I can count on, and I know how they're going to react in every situation. These both of those people, now you don't know day to day and topic to topic how they're going to react, and you just don't want those kind of unstable people in your tent.
We were talking earlier about law enforcement in D.C., crime and violence, et cetera. Lori in Billings sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Hypocrite alert. Call out Joe Scarborough, who admitted on his show on MSNBC the serious crimes and violence in D.C. and how they all live in fear, but then said that Trump is just trying to help only for political purposes. Lori says, what an ingrate. How about giving credit and just say thank you? Frank, that's what we've seen out of these people is no matter what, they're against Trump. No matter what good he does, it just makes them angrier at him. I mean, Joe Scarborough, yeah, I heard the audio. He was saying how everybody in D.C. lives in fear, but...
Right, exactly. The hypocrisy on the left is, you know, well known. It's not going to surprise anybody, but they get away with it because the media is on their side. And so, that's the back premise of my most recent column about Russiagate, Redux. It was that the media was the complicit ally in this hoax to bring down Trump in the first term, and the media is never going to be held accountable. Yes, we, individually like us, we will talk about the media's, improper swaying of the public opinion, but because of the First Amendment, they're pretty much free and clear, and they get away with it, and they're going to keep doing it as long as they can. And Trump has corralled them in ways that, it's hard to believe. The lawsuits that he's succeeded against Stephanopoulos and ABC and against CBS and the 60 Minutes hoax, he is unbelievable. I mean, he's a force of nature, and I really do worry about what comes next because as much as I like J.D. Vance, not everybody does. I like him. I think he's strong. I think he's powerful, but he is going to be tangling with, a bunch of wildcats that are, like Tucker and MTG and a lot more that are completely untamable. And I don't know if he's going to be able to maintain the order and discipline that Trump has been able to show.
Yeah, you talk about your column, Russiagate, Redux. And, we all at the time were calling the Russia hoax the hoax that it was. It was so pretty obvious. But again, kind of like your point of even we didn't know how badly we needed Trump. Like we all knew we badly needed somebody like Trump to go in and shake up the system and drain the swamp. Same thing with the Russia hoax. Now you've got these newly declassified top secret emails where basically, James Clapper ordered the intelligence community to manufacture the whole fake Russia hoax. And so as you revisit the Russiagate hoax, in light of all this new information that's coming out, what stands out to you?
Well, one of the most amazing things is that the media is falling into the same trap they fell into originally. And that's what, my column is about, how just within 10 days after Trump said, made the famous statement, you know, Russia, if you have Hillary's emails, the media is going to love it if you release them. And everybody said, oh, Trump is working for Putin. He's in Putin's pocket and everything. And the media basically made up all of these stories about how Trump was in Putin's pocket. And they basically made up stuff. And that, okay, so when this new stuff came out, when Tulsi Gabbard released all this new information that they found in the files, FBI and CIA files, the immediate reaction from the media was, sorry, but the evidence that shows that there was a collusion hoax among Democrats was invented by Russia. They went back to the same exact playbook. They're saying Russia, you know, faked the emails to make it look like Hillary's allies were planning to frame Trump. It is so predictable and, you know, a little bit frightening, because I think, you know, we are in that divide, 50-50, really, in the country. And I know a lot of people who just, they hate Trump. They hate everything about him.
And they refuse to believe anything.
And it's not going to take much to tip the nation back the other way. I mean,
look at how close the election still was.
Yeah.
Frankly, look at how, well, and we need to talk redistricting here in Montana in light of everything going on in Texas with you as well. Frank Mealy, the editor of the Heartland Diary USA blog. John Jackson, this kind of reminds me, you know, it's like, you know, how Frank focuses on the media was the other partner, willing accomplice in this Russia hoax. Yet, you know, And then I saw one of these liberal news anchors the other day was saying, well, look, you know, you can't hold us. You can't be angry at us for our coverage and our reporting on the COVID-19 stuff because, we just didn't know. BS. They knew. They knew on COVID. They knew on the Russia hoax stuff. And they still keep continuing to trot out this BS, right?
They are sociopaths. They are serial liars. And they operate now in 2025 and have for the last 10-15 years on the Harry Reid principle. You remember Harry Reid when he threw that allegation against Mitt Romney, bet that Mitt Romney hadn't paid his taxes, and then of course it turned out it was a complete lie, and he got hit with the reporter hit him on that. What was his response to that reporter? He said, hey,
it worked.
It worked, didn't it? He's not president, right? What the media does now. They're operating on the Harry Reid principle. As long as it works and goes for Democrats and against Republicans, that's their success.
The ends justifies the means, meaning they know exactly what they're doing in the process. All right, great point, great thoughts. We already got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. We'll be back with Frank Mealy, Heartland Diary USA blog. Plus, we got John Jackson, the Joker from X, with us as well.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
President Trump has signed an executive order this week extending the deadline for higher tariffs on Chinese imports to November 10th. The previous deadline was set to expire on Tuesday. The U.S. and China halted their tariff escalation in May after rates hit triple digits and talks continued to address trade imbalances and national security concerns. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said further meetings are expected later this year. Over the weekend, President Trump expressed optimism that China will quadruple its purchases of ag products, including U.S. soybeans. It's not just another conference. It's the 2025 Grazing Expo, September 4th through the 7th in Billings, Montana, hosted by the Montana and Wyoming Grazing Lands Coalitions. Connect with more than 60 expert speakers and dive into over 40 in-depth breakout sessions focused on practical tools and resources that support your grazing operation. There's something for everyone looking to support agriculture and our grazing lands. Producers can attend for free with a Rancher Resilience Grant. Learn more about the event at montanaglc.org. USDA released its world egg supply and demand estimates and crop production reports this week. The 2025 through 26 wheat outlook is for slightly tighter supplies, reduced domestic use, higher exports, and smaller ending stocks. The season average price dropped a dime this month to $5.30 a bushel. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, I want it, man. The time goes by so quickly here, but that's why I definitely was so glad that Frank Mealy could come join us here for the full hour, because he's always got such great insight. Before I go back to John Jackson, I want to talk Montana specific stuff. I want to talk redistricting and what could or could not happen on that front here in Montana. What if we get a new census? All of this in light of what's going on with Texas. But before we get to that, Frank Mealy, you know, you covered this illegal immigration topic. You wrote columns for the Daily Interlake decades ago about this very topic. Man, the Flathead Valley is ground zero for a lot of the news coverage when it comes to, you know, the illegal alien invasion. And now you've got this, you've got a Venezuelan guy, I think, filing a lawsuit in Whitefish. You've had the far left wackos in the Flathead protesting the Border Patrol in Whitefish. So anyway, your thoughts on, but and then a lot of the reason these things are in the news here in the Flat is because you've got a Border Patrol outfit here. And then on top of that, you've got ICE coming in and handling some business as well.
And you've got Whitefish, which means you have a steady supply of left-wing ideology. Speaking of which, I mean, when back during the No Kings protest, I was doing some work about half a mile away from the protest area around the courthouse and downtown, and you could hear a very loud disturbance, you know, in the force. And my son and I happened to drive through Main Street, and we were stunned how many people in the Flathead came out to, you know, make this protest against Trump because of his autocratic tendencies and the fact that he, you know, is actually trying to get things done through executive order and so forth. And, hey, Republicans don't want him to have to do it through executive order either, because we know that it's going to be at risk. Anything that's done now in these 4 years by executive order, if it isn't put into code by the Congress, it's all at risk. So we're the biggest opponents of executive order rule, but it gets things done. And the large influx of people from out of the area into not just Whitefish but across Flathead County is definitely putting at risk, you know, the probably about 30 years of Republican rule here, and the fact that Whitefish, the police department, stuck its toe into the water to see if, gee, maybe we can help get rid of some illegal immigrants by tightening our enforcement. And they happened to stop somebody who wasn't an illegal immigrant but didn't speak English. They didn't know what was going on. They tried to, they detained him in order to find out what was going on. And now they're being sued. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, the left will always do. They're always going to try to find some procedural ground on which to stall and impede the enforcement of the law. And Whitefish is, you know,
just dominated by the woke left right now.
They're going to be a problem area, but I think the whole state is at risk, really. I mean, we may be in an interregnum between Democratic rule. I mean, when I moved here 40 years ago, it was a Democratic state. And up through, you know, just 10 years ago, we had Democratic governors. And there's no guarantee that that's not going to come back again.
It's kind of like what you talked about. So mostly what we've seen is most of the newcomers post-COVID-19 have been political refugees fleeing the cows, the Californias, the Oregons, and Washingtons, and they've been voting more conservatively. But the influx of incomers keeps coming and keeps coming. So,
but also, I don't think you can count on them being conservative just because they're fleeing California. They're fleeing the effects of California, but they are also products of the indoctrination of California. And so they're going to have a lot harder. And the fact of the matter is that the state is dangerously close to swinging in a lot of ways, partly because of the court system, which for whatever reason, we cannot get through common sense legislation that would turn the, you know, that would turn the courts into a reflection of the people instead of, you know, instead of allowing it to. I mean, it's being manipulated.
It's like what you said, too, earlier about MTG and Tucker Carlson and who's on the ballot in 2028, whether it's a Marco Rubio or a J.D. Vance. And it's like, so if Republicans start infighting and breaking apart like they've already been doing 40 different ways, you combine that with what the electorate might be doing. And if the Trump voters stay home in 2028, that's why people got to get organized right now. Yeah. Hey, John Jackson, back to you. First, your thoughts on what Frank had to say, or I want to talk about redistricting. I mean, you know, this Texas fight is exposing how the Democrats in all of their blue states all across America, they have aggressively put forth gerrymandered congressional districts and legislative districts. They have wiped Republicans off the map with their gerrymandering. Oh, but now Republicans want to do something that they consider to be gerrymandering in Texas, which really isn't even that bad of a map, frankly, from the Democrat standpoint. And now, oh, they go kicking and screaming. But the broader point is, like, back to the whole Trump thing, which is, you know, the reason they hate Trump so much is that he doesn't just sit down and take it like all of the Republicans in the past did. He stands up and fights back. Texas is standing up and fighting back the way other red states haven't before. And that's why they're so mad at Texas right now.
Like Donald Trump, is he has that ability to give other people backbone. Give them spine. Be that guy behind them saying, just get in the fight. I'm with you. Let's do it. Let's go. And it really is so important because what we talked about a minute ago, these midterms, because if they capture the midterms, it's going to be a replay of that 2019 to 2021. All they're going to do, every committee will be investigating Trump. They'll gin up impeachments. They will make it pure and utter 24-hour chaos. And then they'll come up before the 28th election and say, look at all this chaos. We need a return to normalcy.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Frank, when it comes to redistricting, now there's some red states where, yeah, the Republicans need to grow a backbone and take on the fight, right? But in Montana, it's a little bit trickier right now because we first have got to get the Supreme Court either back in fair conservative justice hands or remove the Montana Supreme Court from the redistricting equation altogether, which would require a constitutional initiative or something like that. So it's a little trickier in Montana if we get a new census and that forces a new redistricting
process. I don't think Montana is going to be getting a third congressional seat anytime soon. You'd need to be up around 1.5 million population for that to even be close, and I think you'd need way more than that probably. So I don't think that's going to happen, but certainly redistricting at the state level for legislative purposes is at risk always. The way that the redistricting works in Montana is that it's one of these tricks where they do an even number of Democrat and Republican appointees, and then they have one nonpartisan person in charge who is selected by the court, I think. And it winds up that it always swings left. And, you know, you always, you know, I think there should be something called the dangerous middle, because I think that we run into the situation where people in office, you know, don't want to offend, and they go into that middle area because, and they can use that as an excuse to vote against common sense change on the basis that, you know, it's going to offend that, you know, whatever it is, the left wing, the right wing, it's going to offend people. So I'm just going to stick here in this area where nothing gets done. And I think that, you know, we've suffered under that in the national area for years. And in Montana, I mean, we're seeing this whole thing where the GOP in Montana is having an internal, you know, civil war, where the non-conservative Republicans were called out by the party, and now they're suing, as everybody does who feels like they've been, you know, taken out of the system. Well, they should be taken out of the system because they're elected under false premises, and it's well time for the conservative majority in Montana to stick up for itself. And I think that the court the partisan, the nonpartisan partisan court that we have, the Supreme Court, is really 90% of the problem we face right now. Until we figure out a way to get that more reflective of what the people in the state want, we're going to constantly be fighting a battle against their reinterpretation of the laws, and
that's why this Montana Supreme Court election next year once again is so important. We got a new Chief Justice who's working to bring fairness and justice back to the Montana Supreme Court, but he needs backup. Judge Dan Wilson from here in the Flathead, of course, is running to be that backup, and of course more as well. But anyway, quick break once again. That brings us to another column Frank wrote. We'll start there right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here's an email that came in before we jump back into the conversation here with Frank Mealy, and big thanks to John Jackson for sitting with us as well. He had to run, but that's all right, because I want to focus with Frank on the treason of the judiciary. None dare call it treason of the judiciary. That's another column he wrote back in May of this year. Talking about, you know, all of these nationwide injunctions that they were trying to use to go after Trump. We've got the same problem here in Montana, this treason of the judiciary. First, though, I got an email from Dan. Didn't see what town Dan is in, but Dan says this: let me premise this with the fact that I voted for Trump all three times. I am a constitutional conservative, but vote the lesser of two evils, which is Republican. The president does not walk on water. He is human and makes mistakes the same as you and I. MTG and Carlson's position is fine. And then eventually he just says, hey, you know, what happened to President Trump being the anti-war politician? I guess, Frank, on that point, I see President Trump, what he did with Israel and Iran is actually how you bring peace and how you stop war from breaking out in the first place. But he did bring that war to a halt. He's working to bring the Ukraine-Russia war that he did not start, that started under Biden's tenure, to a halt. And he's always been a peace-through-strength president.
I mean, there's a reason why a multitude of countries have nominated Trump for the Peace Prize, the Nobel Peace Prize, because, I mean, the India-Pakistan thing, he's like, you know, hey, guys, stop. You know, let's think this through. You both have nuclear weapons. We don't need that. The Congo-Rwanda conflict that's been going on for decades, he stepped in and has at least tamped that down. Across the globe, Trump has shown he is not in favor of war. And the Israel thing, I mean, you can't lose sight of the fact that Israel was sneak attacked on October 7th, you know, and they did exactly what we would have done. They went in and tried to crush the opposition. And, everybody feels bad for the people in Gaza, but the people in Gaza allowed Hamas to, have a boot on their throat for you know, years and years. And
yeah, to your point, I think President Trump has averaged one peace deal a month. So because he's peace through strength, they want to claim that he's somehow going to start wars. No, he's preventing / ending wars. And yeah, and I heard on that Azerbaijan-Armenia deal that even Montana Senator Steve Daines apparently played a key role in helping to usher that peace deal through the process. Okay, the tyranny of the judiciary. Finally, the Supreme Court has been weighing in on these liberal federal judges. But really, we have the same problem at the federal level that we have at the local level here in Montana, this tyranny of the judiciary, where they, you know, we don't care. The people spoke. The people voted. They elected their legislator. They elected their governor. They elected the president. They elected Congress. We don't care. We're going to use our tyrants in black robes to stop everything they try to do that we don't like.
Absolutely. I mean, and it, you know, they are an equal branch of government. And what's happening now is Trump is trying to assert the power of the presidency, the executive branch, because there is, and some people will disagree with this, but there's been a real swing toward the judiciary. Black robes have been ruling and making law. A prime example, actually, is in the news right now, is the legalization of gay marriage with the Obergefell decision. That is actually potentially going to be revisited. Some people were worried about that in the wake of earlier rulings that would be revisited. But here's the thing: Kentucky court clerk or county clerk, I believe it was, back when Obergefell was first decided a decade ago now.
Yeah, they threw her in jail because she wouldn't issue a marriage.
Exactly. And she's been countersuing to so she doesn't have to pay these exorbitant fines that she was assessed. And her case may make it to the Supreme Court. And if it makes it to the Supreme Court, her attorneys are going to ask the Supreme Court to rule that she was right all along and that states should have the right to decide what is marriage, not the federal government. There's never been a federal role to decide how marriage works. It's always been a state issue.
Why do people want the government more involved in their lives? Why do you need the government to tell you whether you're this or whether you're that, right? I mean, if you want to look at it from a libertarian perspective, right?
You need that if you can't win on votes.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's
exactly.
They're playing the long game.
And you're trying to force cultural change, et cetera, in using courts to do so. Well, Frank Mila, it's always great to catch up with you and fun to have you for more time, because usually we see you and then we got 15 other people to talk to, too. So thanks for freeing up the full hour for us here today. Less than a minute to go. What else do you want to tell folks across Montana?
I just promote myself for a minute. I've got my column on Real Clear Politics every other Monday. So it came out this last Monday. It'll be out again in 2 weeks. And then my blog, heartlandireusa.com, is kind of the clearinghouse for all my columns. So if you don't remember to look on Real Clear Politics, check it out there.
And sign up for his newsletter, because then, like, if you forget, oh, it's Monday, I need to go read Frank's column, boom.
If you subscribe, you'll get it, yep.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, great to see you, my friend. Thanks so much for your time and for your keen insight, as always. And, yeah, he called out the Medicaid lie a few columns ago as well, which is another one worth checking out. All right. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being with us. Sorry we're out of time for today. Let's see. I think we'll have open phones tomorrow. So we're testing out some new gear, though. So